right, let's stand. We're going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, the first verse. Sing out on that first stanza with me.
Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's pray for some people. Pray for the bereaved folks. And good to see Sharita here recovering. And how you feeling? Better? Good to see you. And Mona's back. Continue to pray for Amy White's son, Michael. He's really sick. And
Is he at home?
At his house, I guess, or with her. I don't know where he is. I don't know where he would be, as far as. I don't know. But continue to pray for him. And Kristen Dove, she found out that she has an aggressive case of breast cancer. Be praying for her. Pray for Pete Griffin Sr. Pete Griffin Sr. is a friend, a friend's dad. He was having heart work done at the hospital center downtown. And had a stroke. And so he's in rehab in near Solomon's Island. So pray for him. Miss Creed is homesick tonight. Pray for him. Pray for her. Brother Arnold had work done on his mouth today, so he's flying high. But pray for him that he'd heal up. Okay, anybody else we're praying for? You talked to your dad today.
Yeah, yesterday actually. It was a nice conversation.
Amen.
So we have to take it slow and never ever go really fast.
Right. So his dad needs to be saved. Pray for him.
He think he's saved, but he's not saved.
Yeah. Pray for Thomas Tisch. We visited. Thomas was working last night. Pray for Thomas. He's facing some challenges. Pray for Edwin to come. And pray for the Cadets to be able to come back.
Amen.
Pray for Russ to be able to get here and get baptized. Pray for Vacation Bible School coming up. And so have a good time with that. Anybody else? Anybody else have prayer requests?
Donna Fidel, our old friend, she had her eye surgery yesterday and was successful.
Donna who?
Fidel.
Trudell.
Yeah.
She had eye surgery or?
Yeah. She did it. She had it done yesterday and she's good to go.
She's doing fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Darian, lead us in prayer, would you?
Heavenly Father, we need these requests there, Lord. Be with the ones that were discipling, Lord. People that are getting over colds and going through cancer, Lord. Be with Mr. Thomas. I pray that my grandpa gets saved and help us to listen to the preaching, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 in your Bible. Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And we'll look at this for a moment, and then we'll get to where we are in the message tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, this is a portion that's talking about a brother in Christ or sister in Christ that's fallen into sin. And folks, Christians do fall into sin, and they don't lose their salvation.
Right.
They get in trouble. They make a wrong. We're human. We do that. The problem is Christians, we say, okay, we're going to shun them, or what are we going to do? Well, we need to help them.
Amen.
If they want to be helped. But there's a qualifying statement in that verse that says, "He that is spiritual," which disqualifies many Christians today. Now, we have established that if we're spiritual, that means we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That means you're emptied of self, you're emptied of sin, and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to control you.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Back up in chapter 5 here, notice what chapter 5 says here. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
Amen.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. When you get saved, it doesn't mean you'll never sin, and there's not that old nature there. There is the flesh and the spirit, and they're fighting. The one you feed wins.
Right.
The one you allow to control you wins. Now, here's the problem that you and I face is this. We categorize things, we categorize sin, we categorize situations into, oh, that's just a little thing, that's not a big deal. Everything's a big deal in your life because a little thing can get big. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I want you to understand that, because we cannot let our human thinking filtrate into the Spirit. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to think like Jesus. We need to be conformed to his image. And so it goes on to say, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." And it goes on there. But then it says this in verse 22. Look at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such as there is no law." And so what this is saying is, you want to see whether you want to tell me whether you're spiritual. You want to tell me whether you're filled with the Spirit. Then these things should be the fruit. These things should be seen. It's not I'm getting there. It's they should be seen by others.
Amen.
And I'm talking about they should be seen by brothers and sisters in Christ. They should be seen by fellow countrymen. They should be seen by your co-workers. They should be seen by your family. And so this fruit should be seen. And so we looked at love. and joy. Tonight we're going to take a deep dive into peace together. And so I want to think about that. First of all, I want to think about the explanation of peace. Let's get a definition tonight. Let's understand what the meaning here is. The primary Hebrew word is shalom. You've heard that before, and it means safe. It implies happy, a well happy, or friendly terms. The primary Greek word for peace is eirene, and that means to join or in a sense of bringing together. It implies prosperity, oneness, quietness, and rest. Again, Webster's dictionary, he says this, a state of tranquility and or quiet, freed from civil disturbance or state of security. And so let's look at that. And then that's the basic definitions, but the biblical definition, the biblical descriptions are this: to live in safety. To live in safety. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will they lay me down to sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety."
Amen.
He says, it says to live in safety. There's no conflict with your enemies because God's there to counsel you in the night seasons. That's in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, in the night seasons. I want you to notice something in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Look at Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17 with me. You have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
You don't have it, say oh me. 32 and verse 17. Look what it says. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance." Now, to live in safety, what does it mean? It means there may be danger, but God's got me. You understand? God's got me. God, I can live at peace. I'm in safety because I'm the Lord's. Okay? Now, I want you to notice something else. Secondly, a calm state of mind, a heart free from anxiety. The biblical description. Notice Isaiah 26 and verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." That perfect peace. Complete peace. Now, John 14 and verse 7. "Peace I leave with you." And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." So what it's talking about here is a calm state of mind. In my mind, I am at peace. I am at peace. Why do we react the way we do in this world? Because of fear. Why do we react the way in this world as Christians? We react the wrong way because we are not resting the fact in our minds that we have the perfect peace of God. It's available. Now, notice again, another biblical description is this: a right relationship with God. A right relationship with God. Now notice, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1. We find peace that is experienced with God. And there's three areas of peace. Let me give these to you. There is peace with others, peace with myself, and peace with God.
Amen.
And that's the peace that passes all understanding. Now, that's the exclamation of peace. It is a calmness in my mind. Now, does it mean things aren't going haywire? I mean, you know, you in your workplace, you're going to have. Sometimes you have to react. You don't have time to think
right.
On your feet, and it gets tense, and there's pressure. That doesn't mean you can't be at peace. That everything that's going on is of God.
Amen.
See, it starts in our soul and in our mind. We've got to understand that. Now, I want you to notice again the expression of peace. How does peace come out? How does peace look? How does this fruit look? Well, first of all, if I have perfect peace, If I have peace, the peace of God, peace with others, peace with myself, I will rest better. A lot of people go home and they're restless. Can't sleep. Can't sleep. I will rest better. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. I read that verse, Psalm 4:8. You'll rest. Now, it doesn't just mean rest your body, but rest your mind. You ever woke up with a headache? Huh? It means your mind's not resting. Or you ate too much the night before. I'm speaking from experience. Number two, I not only rest better, but I will be more resistant to temptation. So what's that? What do you mean? Great peace which they have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The principle in Psalm 119:165 is this, that the principle is, I have peace, and I'm not going to let anything change that. So when I come up to temptation, and there is temptation on every side, every moment of every day, there is temptation to do what we want or what the world wants, what the flesh wants, what Satan wants. And we've got a decision every time we are faced with temptation. Am I going to do that or am I not?
Amen.
Now, you all know, you all have heard of Joe Lewis. You young guys probably don't ever hurt. You ought to look up Joe Lewis. He's a great fighter. Wasn't he the one that Muhammad Ali fought?
No, he didn't fight.
He didn't fight. It was before. Joe Lewis, yes. Joe Lewis was the fighter of his time. And he tells about going into training. And when he was in training, he walked past this restaurant, and he saw this piece of cake. You know how they put a big piece of cake in the... I mean, and it looks good. I mean, it's cut, and it just looks good. Big old piece of chocolate cake, and it said, "Eat me, Joe." So I'm not going to eat you. "Eat me, Joe." Says, "No, I'm not going to eat you." And he said, "I either had to say no to that cake or say no to winning. I was in training." Now, temptation is going to get you on every side. And there's no mystery out there. Everything's flaunted. Everything's out there in your face. It's sad today that kindergartners learn to read and then they pull up on somebody with a profane bumper sticker and the little kids start reading it, and you want to blindfold them. But people put stuff on the on Snapchat. They put stuff on their bumper stickers. They put stuff ungodly. It's wicked stuff.
Yes.
It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny. Things that people say, not funny. Using profanity is not funny. It's ungodliness. It's wicked.
Amen.
And we see that. We see that, and it's there. And we can't. We're in this world. God's not taking this. So we have to. And if we have the peace of God, we can overcome that temptation. Because a lot of times temptation. We do something, we take that temptation, and we sin because we think that's better. And peace says, "I'm good.
Amen.
I'm good with what God gives me." Huh?
Amen.
I'm good with what God gives me. It was a blessing for both my boys when they got married, when we got ready to go out in the weddings. One, I was just back there before I went back to the audience with Patrick, and both my boys were able to come up to me and shake my hand and look me in the eye and say, "Dad, tonight will be the first time I touched her."
Amen.
Amen.
Say, so what's that? That's having peace that I'm going to wait. And so, peace. Will help me resist temptation. And then again, peace, I will be resolute less controlled by fear and anxiety, and displaying an inner strength, not crushed or driven by panic. It's important that I understand that I'm not, I don't need to panic, I don't need to rush things, I don't need to say, well, every action is a reaction. I can be more resolute, less controlled by fear and anxiety, and displaying an inner strength, not crushed or driven to panic. That's, you know, I know that's not a short point, but I wanted to make sure you got the point. Listen to these verses. I'm going to read several. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:3-4. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 4:27. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. We cannot get worked up. We've got to stay strong. We can't let the situation control us. We have to control the situation. You understand? We have to be controlled in the situation. You're not going to be, here's a crazy idea that people have. I can control people. You can't control people. People think, well, you know, we get married, I'm supposed to control her. No, you're not. As a husband, you're supposed to lead her. Amen. Yep. I'm supposed to control my kids. No, you're supposed to lead your kids, train them up. So the circumstances, when circumstances come, here's what we think. We think, well, I've got to do something. No, wait a minute. There's verses like in the Bible, like, wait on the Lord. You ever seen that one? Need to wait. Sometimes you just need to wait. Let God work. You get in the middle of it, you mess things up. Now, let me give you another point, and I'll move on. Number four, I will have a closer relationship with God with this peace. Be perfect. Be good. Be of good comfort. Be on one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Think about that. Relationship with God. Resting better. Resist temptation. Not controlled by fear or anxiety. So that's what it looks like. That's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. This fruit of the Spirit, peace. That's what it looks like. It's not a laziness. It's not an ignoring everything. It's not a detached. It's not being detached. But I'm in the middle of it, but it's not in the middle of me. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of it, but it's not in the middle of me. See? Now, how can I experience this peace? The experience of peace, number three. The experience of peace. Let me ask you, how are we going to experience peace? I want you to understand, first of all, our obligation to peace. What is my obligation to this fruit of the Spirit? What am I to do? Okay? Here it is. It is God's will that I be a man or a woman of peace. Amen. It's God's will. Just the implication there. Everybody know what an implication is? Everybody know what an implication is? It means it's implied there. It says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Well, if it's the Spirit, I'm to be filled with the Spirit, then I'm supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm obligated, and it will make me a man, or it's God's will that I be a man or woman of peace. That's God's will. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. The things which make for peace. 1 Corinthians 7, 19. For God has called us to peace. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Live in peace. Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. That's a strong word, rule. To the which also ye are called. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men. All. Anytime you see all in the Bible, you should circle it. All. And then 1 Peter 3:11, let him seek peace and ensue it. It's God's will that we be men and women of peace. Number two, it's God's will that I be a messenger of peace. See, there's a lot of Christians stir things up.
Right.
A lot of Christians that start things. A lot of Christians are instigators, wow, aggravators. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's one of the armors of God. The gospel of peace. See, we must be messengers of peace. What do you mean? Well, first of all, we bring the gospel to people because that brings peace.
Amen.
And then as Christians, we bring peace to the situation. Doesn't the Beatitude talk about being a peacemaker? Does it not? So my obligations are that I'm a man or woman of peace, but I'm a messenger of peace. When I come, I bring peace with me. I'm not here to stir things up. I'm not here to leave things in an uproar. I'm here to bring peace. Now, notice, that's the obligation of peace. And thinking about how to experience it, but let me just give you this, the origin of peace. How does it happen? How does it happen? How do I make it happen? Listen to this, with others. And that's what we want. We want to have peace with others. We want to have good relationships with other people. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
Now that's a goal you ought to set. I want to be at peace with others. It's God's will that I be at peace with others. Secondly, notice this, with God, peace, or peace with myself. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Say, what are you talking about? A lot of people don't have peace with themselves. You are the way God made you. God wants you to become what he wants you to be.
Amen.
You're the best you there is in the world. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. How many times can I say it? Leave the past behind. You say, preacher, some things in the past are good. Focus on the good things from the past. Leave the bad.
Amen.
We talked about that in joy. When we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Peace with others and peace with myself, and then peace with God. Peace with God. What's it mean? Peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's only one way to have peace with God, and that's to know Him and then be right with Him. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So there's the origin, there's the obligation, but here's the opportunity. Here's the opportunity you have to display this fruit, to have this in your life. It is a Spirit-filled life, first of all. It begins with that. Romans 8:6, a spiritually minded person has peace. Romans 15:13, we are filled with peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, peace is displayed as the fruit of the Spirit. That's what these verses tell you. Now, I didn't read them exactly, but I'm telling you, that's what they say. That's what they tell us. They tell us that we can have peace, and it begins with a Spirit-filled life. Now, you're indwelt as a saved person, but are you filled? That's the question. Now, notice the second thing. It is a product of a life of faith. You see, it takes faith for me to give way to the Spirit. Take my hands off the steering wheel of my life. Some people say it this way, let go and let God. Let God have it. Notice, Psalm 37:11 talks about the meek will rejoice in the abundance of peace. The Bible says and tells us in Isaiah 26:3 that we are kept in perfect peace. Philippians 4:6-7 talks about the peace that passes all understanding. So it's a product of a life of faith. Your Christian life began with faith, but our faith needs to be built up on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Peace. It is a product of a Spirit-filled life, a life of faith, and let me say this in closing, it is a product of a life of obedience. Spirit-filled, obedience, faith and obedience. Psalm 37:37 tells us the end result of an upright life is peace. Psalm 119:165 says if we love God's law, we have peace. And you think about that definition of peace. An inner happiness, an inner peace, an inner peace. And then the fact of the matter is that we're obligated to be men and women of peace. We experience that. Listen, life is a struggle for everybody. Life is a struggle. Life is not easy, and every day it gets more difficult. But it does not mean I cannot have peace. And tonight, with everything I've said and everything I've given you, where it's at is, am I Spirit-filled? Am I putting my faith and trust in Christ in this, to have this peace? And am I obedient? Very elementary. It's like Sherlock would say, elementary, Watson. Very basic. As a matter of fact, this formula for peace in my life, being Spirit-filled, having faith and being obedient, this principle works in all areas of life. There are a lot of Christians that do not have the peace of God. And like when I used to play sports, coach says you gotta want it. You gotta want it. Used to play basketball. He said, you see that basketball in another guy's hand? That's not his basketball, that's yours. That's yours. I used to practice when I was playing basketball in high school, I used to do hand-eye coordination, get quick hands. And I would just nonchalantly be guarding my guy. He'd get the ball and he'd start to bounce the ball, and I'd steal it. One guy used to say, I did about three times. He looked at his coach. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. I wasn't doing anything. I just got in the rhythm of him bouncing. When it was coming back up to his hand from the floor, I stuck my hand there, and off to the races I went. Fast break. Why? Why? Because I wanted it. You got something I want. And God says, here, you can have it. But let my spirit fill you and have faith that it's the right thing to do and just obey. Just do what I say. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you have that peace tonight? It begins with knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? I'm saved. Amen. You may put your hands down. Now, speaking to Christians, do you have that peace? You say, preacher, I really don't have that peace in my heart. I'm really just floating through life, going to the next day, doing the next thing, following the crowd. Are there some things in my life? God spoke to me tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll stand. If God spoke to your heart, you get along with him at the front. May be seated. Anybody have an offering? We'll get the plate. Let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Brother James Vaughn pastors up right at the northeast tip of Maryland before you go into Middletown, Delaware. And they are having a tent meeting beginning tomorrow night. If you want the address, I can give it to you. But they're having a tent meeting, 6:30. Brother Lou Rossi will be preaching tomorrow night. And then my brother Mike Creed will be preaching Friday night, Saturday night. James will be preaching. And it starts at 6:30. Now, it's up. If you go up 301 across the bridge, it's way up. It's all the way up there before you go into Delaware. It's about an hour. But it's beautiful up there, and they're trying to shake the trees up there and have a tent revival and have a good time with it. So you pray for that. Amen? Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Good to have our visitors with you. Come back and see us sometime. Amen. 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 Brother Walt, close for us in prayer, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you for those truths there, Father. Thank you for that. Dear God, I need you to do that tonight, dear Father. We're coming to church tonight. Dear God, you know I'm tired of. Get us home safely, God. Get us back here Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, dear Father, we can say, you just come and pray.
Amen.